Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Ayin Beis. Ayin Beis 72. Today we are up to the last blot in Perak HaMochar HaSabayis. Remember this 11 blot Perak. We started this Perak right after Cheska Sabatim. Started back on Samach Aleph, the last Amud. But the way to remember it is the last Amud, daf Samach. In Cheska Sabatim is all about Zechel Churban. You remember that Samach Ayin Beis? We spoke all about Zechel Churban that day. After that starts these middle three Perakim. So Samach Aleph through Ayin Beis is HaMochar HaSabayis. Then tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we start a Mochar Es Sfina, selling boats. But today, we have to finish up a Mochar Es Abayis. So there's really no place to start from that is specifically at the top of our daf. So we're going to actually do a whole nother Amud today. Ayin Aleph Mabez. We'll start with the second line. Tznan. Going back to the Mishnah that we had yesterday. So we have to remember the comment of Rav Huna. Rav Huna said on the Amud Aleph, Ayin Aleph and Aleph on the bottom, just remember the statement of Rav Huna, which we're going to relate to. Rav Huna said, four lines from the bottom, that even though if somebody buys two trees from their friend, he does not kone the karka between the trees, because we consider two trees. No, you only buy the trees. If you would buy three trees from your friend, then we assume there's an automatic karka sold within the trees, if there are a certain amount of distance from each other. But again, even though if you buy two trees, you do not kone the karka, meaning the seller keeps the karka. If somebody sells karka and keeps two trees to themselves, we assume that he keeps the karka for those two trees. Again, if somebody buys two trees, he does not acquire the karka. But if somebody sells his land without two trees, he keeps two trees for himself, we assume that he keeps the land for those two trees. And the Gemara at first said, this is even according to Rabbi Akiva. Even Rabbi Akiva, who usually says, Mocher is ba'ayin yafe mocher, but still, if he keeps the trees, we assume that the trees need some land, and therefore, Rav Huna said that if somebody keeps two trees to himself, he keeps land to himself also. So, related to that, we quote the last line of our Mishnah yesterday. So says the Mishnah, Tznan, Ayin Aleph Mabei, second line. Reb Shimon Omer, Hamakdash is Asad Elo Hekdash Alacharav Hamorka Fasad Hashikma. Yesterday's line, the last line, Reb Shimon said, if somebody's Makdash their field to the base of Mikdash, then what goes along with the field? These two special trees also go along with the field. Which is very unusual, because we said previously, last week, we said these trees are excluded from sales because they're so special. So why are they included? So Vatani Allah Ma'amar Reb Shimon. So Reb Shimon said, related to our Mishnah, the Braisa was learned, what is the reason for Reb Shimon in our Mishnah? Amar Reb Shimon Matam, Hova Yonkin Mistei Hektish. Because if I'm Maklish my field, if I give my field to the base of Migdash, and these two trees are on it, these trees derive much nutrients from the ground on which they are. And therefore, if I'm Makdash the field, the assumption is, says Reb Shimon, these trees take so much nourishment from the field. Well, you're going to tell me they're taking nourishment from the Hektish field? The whole field is Hektish. So these trees are taking from the Stay Hektish. So it must be that you really meant to give these trees also to the Beis HaMikdash. That is the Umdana. And that's what Reb Shimon is in the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, V'i Salka Daitach Shiyure Shayir. And if it's true what Rav Huna said on Amin Aleph, that if somebody sells a field and keeps trees to himself, that's Shiyure Shayir, if that's true. So Ki Kanyanki Midanafshika Yanki. So what's the problem? According to Rav Huna, when you sell trees, when you sell a field and you keep two trees to yourself, you also kept the land for those trees to yourself. So what's the problem? What's Reb Shimon talking about? Reb Shimon says if you sell a field, it must be you gave those trees also, because those fields take nourishment from the field, and the field is all shel hektish. So therefore, it must be that you sold those trees too. No, according to Rav Huna, you don't have to say that. According to Rav Huna, why don't we say that in the Mishnah's case, if you're Makdish a field, you kept the land to yourself. So you don't automatically give up those trees. And the Rashbam has an important ta'ara here. The Rashbam says, we're not going to see it as the Rashbam says, and don't be mechalek between Mocher and Makdish. That could have been an easy answer. You could have said the whole issue in Rav Huna is talking about Mechira, and then the issue in the Mishnah is talking about Hakdasha. Maybe there is more of an Ayin Yafeh when it comes to Hektish. So the Rashbam, don't say that. The Gemara is assuming that Hektish either has to be like a Mechira or not. That's what he says. Lech Lamei Merhachi. He says, not a Svar. They're like 10 lines up from the bottom. Ela Olin Nosei Matana Medami Lelegamrei, Olin Mocher Medami Lelegamrei. Right, you've got to be either or. That's what the Gemara is assuming now. Hakdasha is not something different. So again, back to the question. Three lines for the bottom. Right? So why, again, why, according to Rav Huna, does Rav Shimon in the Mishnah have to say you gave the trees also? Why can't you say he kept the trees to himself and he also kept the land to himself? Answers the Gemara, Rav Shimon de Amak Rabbi Akiva. No, Rav Shimon really holds like Rabbi Akiva, that Ba'ayin Yafeh, V'Rav Huna de Amak Rabbanan. And Rav Huna is going according to the Rabbanan who says Ba'ayin Ra'ah. The Rashbam points out the Gemara here is retracting what it said earlier in the bottom of Amud Beis, that Rav Huna is Afilu Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara is rejecting that at this stage, even though we're going to accept it again at the end of the Sugya, on Ayin Beis Amud Beis. But at this stage, the Gemara is retracting and saying, no, Rav Shimon in the Mishnah who said that if you're Makdish the field, you're Makdish the trees also, because the trees get nourishment from the land, that's according to Rabbi Akiva. And the Rav Huna holds like the Rav Huna who says his statement that if you keep trees to yourself, you also keep land to yourself, that's going according to the Rabbanan of Mocher Ba'ayin Ra'a Mocher. Right? So that is the Gemara at this stage. So it says the Gemara, Karabanan Pshita. So according to the Rabbanan, isn't it Pashut that since Ba'ayin Ra'a Mocher, so what's the Chiddush of Rav Huna? Rav Huna who says that if you sell a piece of land and you keep two trees to yourself, you also kept some of the land that those trees are onto yourself. What's the chiddush of that? The Rabbanan say that. So what's the chiddush of Rav Huna? So nafka mina de'inafli hadar shasaluhu. The chiddush is that even if the trees fall down, I will be able to replant them. Right? You might say that if I sell a piece of land and I keep the two trees to myself, okay, so I kept some land to myself, but that's only because I have trees. Let's say the trees die. So forget it. That's it. I have no more rights to this land. That's the chiddush of Rav Huna. No, you eat, that according to the Rabbanan, Rav Huna explains, that even if you didn't leave yourself explicitly any land, only because of the trees, even if the trees fall down, you still have land, you're able to replant them. Period. So now it says the Gemara. Ardaf. Umi matzis mukbis lal Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Akiva. Is that really true? Could we really put Rabbi Shimon with Rabbi Akiva? As we just said, that was the answer to the question. Don't ask a kasha from Rav Huna on our Mishnah, because they're talking about different shitas. Rav Huna is going according to the Rabbanan, and our Rabbi Shimon and our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Akiva. Is that true? Can you learn that? So we have a question now, and the question is not going to end for another 15 lines. V'hatanya says the Braisa, Hikdish shlosha ilanos mimata asara lebesa. What are we talking about here? There is a halacha in Parshas Bechukosai, in Parachav Zayin, that if somebody is makdish, they're stay achuza. If somebody's makdish, all these halachas are Torah Shebichsav. It's not even Torah Shebalpeh. We're just not familiar with them. So today we'll hopefully become a little familiar with some of these halachas. Says the in Parachav Zayin, all the Parsha of Erechin is discussed. Erechin is where there is fixed amounts for items. Damim means value. Let's say I'm makdish my value, my damim, to the Beis HaMikdash. So what do? I'm sold on the market. I figure out how much I could be sold on the market, and I have to give that amount of money to the Beis HaMikdash. That's called Dmei Alai. But if I say Erki Alai, my Erech, I have to give. So that is a specific value in the end of Parshas Bechukosai, where the Torah says, every man, every woman, depending on age and gender, right, so that's how much it costs, from 20 to 60, all the different rules and regulations. They have that, so the Torah has that by people, but also, that's where it mentions the Isra of Temura also, but then it talks about houses and fields as well. So there's a similar idea by a field. If I'm makdish my stei achuza, says the Torah, right by Chamishi in Bechukosai, ve'im mi stei achuza so, yakdish ish l'shem, if somebody is makdish, they're a stei achuza, I have my plot that I got from my Zeda and my Alta Zeda, this is mine that I got all the way going back to Yeshua ben Nun. And I'm makdish that to the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll talk more about the details of these halachas later on. But for now, all we have to know is this first pasuk. If you're makdish it, what is the Beis HaMikdash going to do with my backyard in Tveria? Right, I have my backyard there, and I was makdish it. Beis HaMikdash is not interested in that. So what are we going to do? I have to give a certain amount of money to the Beis HaMikdash, and then the field's mine again. That's the halacha of Erechin. So how much do you have to give? There's a specific amount, the Torah says. Erka chalif hizaro, zera chomer seorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. A certain amount of place where you could plant a certain amount of barley, 50 shekel. That's the rule. And you go ratio, depending how many of these areas you have to give 50 shekel based on the amount of land. Okay, that's the halacha of Erechin of Estei Achuza. So, says the Braisa now, second line. Hikdish Shlosha Ilanos Mimata Asar LeBeisah. Let's say I'm makdish an area of three trees. I give three trees. So then the halacha is, just like we said earlier, that if you buy three trees or if you sell three trees, you assume automatically some land went along with those trees. So too, if I'm makdish three trees, says the Brisa, Hari Hikdish Es HaKarka Ve'es HaIlana Sheminayim. Automatically I'm makdish the karka and the tree, the other little trees that happen to be on that land between them. Right, that's what I assume. If it's three trees, so it's always, that means it's an area of land also included. And that's what the Hakdash is. What do you mean the little trees between them? So the Rashbam just says the little trees between them. Tosva says it's the Srak, the Elon Srak trees between them. You know, the trees that do not bear fruit. Either way, the non-chashuv trees between them also go along. So that's the halacha. If I give three trees to the Beis HaMikdash, the land that those trees are on also are hukdash. Lefichach, therefore, kishehu podeh, when I redeem that area, tree-land combination, podeh beis zerach, homer sarah v'chavishim shekel kasef, I go by the ratio and the value the Torah says I have to do. Because even though I was makdish three trees, I assume that really meant an area of land with those three trees on them, separated in the correct area on the land. So that's what you have to, it goes by the regular land ratio for money. Pachos mikan, but if the trees are less, the distance between them is not enough to consider that you gave the land all. So let's say the trees are all like right next to each other, all smushed in. So then we don't assume that you gave the same area of lands, right, for that the trees need. Oh, yo, so the trees are so spread out that you cannot look at them as a unit of three. So then, oh, yes, Rakan, oh, she hekdishin bezeh achar zeh, or I was not makdish them all at once. I was makdish one tree, and then a month later I give another tree. So again, you cannot look at them as a unit. So in all those cases, we don't assume that there was land, hukdash. It was a bunch of trees. So trees don't have this rule in the Torah. So hari zeh lo hikdish ela hakarka. So lo hikdish lo hakarka. So in this case, we do not assume that you are makdish the land. But lo asei ilano shemeinam, and not the little trees between them. And therefore, lefichach, when you come to redeem them, kishehu podeh podeh asei ilano b'shavyein. Figure out how much the trees are worth. If the tree is worth 1,000 shekel, so that's how much I give the Beis HaMikdash. There's no such halacha of a specific amount of 50 shekel per area of land. That's only by land. That's not by trees. So if you give our makdish trees that we assume that land goes with it, so then you go by the amount of the value of the land with the specific ratio the Torah says. But if it's just trees, that's it. You go by the trees. And the Brisa even adds, velo od, and not only that, ela afilu hikdish es ho'ilanos, the chazav hikdish es hakarka. Let's say I was makdish the trees one after another, or they're too far apart from each other. So the halach is only the trees are hukdash. And then the following week, I gave the land which the trees were on. So what might you say now? You might say now you go by all the land and you go by the value the Torah delineates. Kishu podeh, you don't say that. Podeh, silanus b'shavyein, is still considered two separate units. The trees, you are podeh, you redeem by paying the value of what you could sell them for. The chozer, or podeh, and the land, then you go afterwards. Podeh b'zera, chomer seorim, b'chamishim shekel kesef. Then you go by that. What does it have to do with us? We'll figure it out in a minute. But first, let's talk about a couple of points that the Rishonim here bring up. First of all, what type of hektish are we talking about here? Giving your backyard, giving trees. So there's something that we discussed in the past, but we haven't done it in a while, so I'll mention it again. And that is there are two types of hektish that one could give. I wanted to give something to the Beis HaMikdash. So I could give an animal to the Beis HaMikdash. That's one type of hektish. I could give an animal to give as a karbon. I give that animal, I imbue that animal with Kedushas HaGuf. It has inherent value, and that animal goes onto the Beis HaMikdash. That's one thing. Or I could give flour for a karban mincha. I could be the one that supplies the flour or the wine. Mishnah and Shkolim talk about certain families that you always used to give the flour and the wine and the oil and the frankincense. You could be the one that that takes care of it. So that's one type of hektish. That's kedushas haguf. But What we're talking about here is not that. Giving your backyard, what does the Beis HaMikdash need your backyard for that's not anywhere near the Beis HaMikdash? So that's called Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, or Kedushas, right, needed for temple upkeep, or Kedushas Damim, the value. You're not Makdash, you're Makdash the backyard, but it's really the value of the backyard. So once you pay for the backyard, that money goes to the Beis HaMikdash. So these two types of Heptish are used to answer a question by Tosfos. Tosfos in Perek Meruba, in the seventh Perek of Baba Kama, points out that there's a stira between two Gemaras that are three blot from each other. Not too far from each other. Sometimes you have stiras from Baba Kama and Tzmura. Okay, maybe the Gemara that's very far. But here, Daf Ayin Vav and Daf Ayin Tes and Baba Kama. This is a stira. One Gemara says that if I steal an animal and then I give it to the Beis HaMikdash, I'm Chayev Dalad Vehei. The halacha is if I steal an ox, I steal a sheep, and then I sell it, so the halacha is you have to pay 4 and 5. But if that's by mechira, so one Gemara says hakdasha counts as a sale. If I makdash that animal, I have to pay 4 and 5 to the original owner. The other Gemara says no, you don't. Nothing changed if you makdash it. The language of the Gemara meikara tura de Ruvain v'hashta tura de Ruvain. It used to be Ruvain's and now it's still Ruvain's. So if you give it to the Beis HaMikdash, you're not makdash it. You're not. It's not considered a mechira. So what is it? It's mamish, three blot from each other, and it says explicitly two different things. Is Hakdasha considered a mechira or not? It says Tosfos in both places. Daf Ayin Vav and Daf Ayin Tes and Baba Kama, two different types of Hakdash. Kedushas Bedek HaBayis and Kedushas Mizbeach. Or Kedushas Damim and Kedushas Aguf, synonyms. When do we say that it changes Rishus and the Hakdasha is considered a mechira? That's by Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. Kedushas Damim, right? Like the backyard case. When I give a certain value, when I take the animal, and I only want to give the value of the animal to the Beis HaMikdash. Masha'enkei by Kedushas HaGuf, which ironically you might have thought that is a more serious Kedusha, you imbue it with inherent Kedusha to be given on the Beis HaMikdash, on the Mizbeach, that legally, monetarily, does not change ownership. Meikar Tura Deruvin, Mahashat Tura Deruvin, and it's not called a Mechira. That's what Tosfos says. So now comes Reb Chaim. Why not? What's the difference? How does it work? Why is one a mechira? Why is one not a mechira? So explains Reb Chaim. These are two different types of hakdasha, and they work differently. When you give something to the Beis HaMikdash as kedushas damim, how does it attain its kedusha? When I give a spoon to the Beis HaMikdash, when I give my backyard, so says Reb Chaim. You know how that works? I label it as mamon shel hekdash. Step one. This now belongs to Hekdesh. Memela wants this. Mamon shel Hekdesh, it gets Kedusha. Memela. But I am not Makdesh it. That's not what I do. I change its status to Mamon shel Hekdesh, and Memela, it gets Kedusha. That's why it's called a sale. Because I change its status. I say it's not Reuven's Mamon anymore. It's not my Mamon. It's Hekdesh's Mamon. But when it comes to Kedushas Mizbeach, explains Reb Chaim, no, it's very different. I, the Makdish, I directly imbue it with Kedusha. I am Makdish the animal to be given on the Mizbeach. It's still connected to me, though. It's still connected to me. I own it legally, but I imbue it directly with Kedusha. Those are two very different ways to be Makdish something and two different results. And there are a number of Rishonim that Mamish, without this Reb Chaim, what are these Rishonim talking about, and why would they be limited? I'll just read you two or three of them. There's a Rashi Im Sachim. Rashi Im Sachim on Daf Hey Amabes. So many of us have seen this Rashi. We don't focus on it. The Gemara there on Hey Amabes talks about Bal Yerubai Yimatzai. Right, by right, but the Isser on Pesach, you can't eat chametz, you can't have benefit from chametz, and I'm not allowed to have chametz in my house. But the Gemara says, Shalacha Yetaroeh, I'm not allowed to have my chametz, Avalataroeh Shalacherim v'shalakavoah. If you have hektish chametz in your rishus, you don't violate Bal Yerubai Yimatzai. Okay, fine. Rashi, without any fanfare, he says, Kigon shalgavoha im hikdishan lebeta kabayas. Why does Rashi say that? The Gemara says nothing about it. Rashi just throws in there, by the way, you know which Bal Yerubai Yimatzai you don't violate by hektish? That's kedushas beta kabayas. Kedushas mizbeach you violate. Why? This is mizbeach you violate. If I have a matzah that I wanted to give as a carbon mincha, I violate. Why? So according to Reb Chaim, it's beautiful because kedushas bedek habayis. It's not yours monetarily, and that's Bal Yerubai Yimatzai. It's got to be yours monetarily. So that's why Rashi says dafka bedek habayis you wouldn't violate, but kedushas mizbeach you would violate if it's in your house. Another one, the Tosfos Yeshanim in Krisus. This Rav Soloveitchik points out this raya. He says, and Daf Yud Gimel, the shear of Shaveh Pruta, by Me'ila, if I violate, if I get benefit from the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a shear of a Shavet Pruta. Says, the Torah says Yishanim, that's only by Kedushas Damim, by Kedushas Bedek Abayis. But by Kedushas HaGuf, even a tiny amount, even a tiny little Kol Shehu amount of benefit, you're going to violate Me'ila. So what's the difference? So again, by Bedek HaBayis, what's the root of Me'ila? It belongs to Hekdesh now. So whenever it belongs to Hekdesh, so how do you get benefit? You're stealing from Hekdesh. Stealing is always monetary amount. It's Shavah Pruta. Mash'enki Kedushim Mizbeach, that's yours. It's yours, and it just has Kedusha now. So any little pagam in the Kedusha could be a problem. And one final point, and then we'll get back to our Gemara. One final raya, and maybe this is the strongest raya. There are other rayas, but I'll just give you one more. The Rambam in Hilchos Eirechin. The Rambam says, once something is hektish, could I make it more hektish? But he already has Kedusha. Could I do hektish ilui, it's called? I'm going to make it even more hektish. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Eirechin, Perek Vav Halacha Ches. Vav Ches. Says the Rambam, if something is Bedek Habayis, Hamakdish kachim is beach lebedek abayis. I'm sorry, the other way. If something is kachim is beach, kachim is aguf, and then I want to make it into bedek abayis, it works. Hektish chal alehen. I could do that. I have an animal that I already designated to bring as a carbon, right? Kachim is beach. And then I say, you know what? I want to be makdish this animal again as kushas domim. So we could get its value. You could do that. That works. And that was double hektish. You have to give it as a carbon, and you have to give it the value. But what about the other way? If it's already kadshei bedek habayis, can I make a kedushas mizbeach? Says the Rambam, no, you can't. Why? Says the Rambam's lashon, ve'ein hektish mizbeach lo achir emchal al kedushas bedek habayis she'ein adam makdish davar she'einu shelo. You can't be makdish something that's not yours. It's mamish mefurish, like Reb Chaim says, and that is because once it's kedushas bedek habayis, you don't own it anymore. Monetarily, and therefore, you wouldn't be able to be makdish. So again, this whole Gemara that we see here on Daf Ayin Beis, where we're talking about land and Steach Huza, that is talking about a kadshei bedek habayis, because you're not giving your land for kedushas haguf. So that is sugi number one that we can talk about today. But next, before we get back to the Gemara's question, there's another sugi brought up by the Rishonim here, and that is the Rashbam. The Rashbam brings up on this Braisa. So again, what did the Braisa say? If I'm makdish trees, that automatically fields go along with it. So then I consider it all a field, and I'm poda it according to what the Torah says I have to be poda it. 50 shekel per area of land. But if it's just trees, then I just redeem the trees based on what they are worth. So the Rashbam here brings up, I'm trying to find where the Rashbam brought it up, he brings up the sugya of how did I give these to the Beis HaMikdash? I'm trying to find, here it is, about the 10th line or so in the wide lines of the Rashbam. He says, in the case where, what did the Braisa say? Even if it ends up that everything's hektish, but if you first gave the trees, and then later you gave the land, one is not balta to the other. So the Rashbam says, about the 15th line, second word, the shnei hekdeshos hein. Right, these are two hekdeshos. Zeh huktash l'damav. This one is huktash for its value. Vezeh lefi cheshbon chamishim. Right, the trees go by the value, and the land goes by according to what the Torah says. Ve'ein lanu lahafsid hekdesh d'mei ho'ilanos. You can't say that once you have to give the lands, then the trees are lost, and you don't give the trees anymore. The value, why? Da'ami rasu l'gavoa. Another major shasugya. Because when you give something to the Beis HaMikdash, all you have to do is say it. Once you say it, so that's automatically enough to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Even if you don't do a kinyan with it. Usually, if I say, I sell you this land. It's meaningless, until I do a kinyan. It's meaningless. Right? I can't say something and it'll work. You need a kinyan. Special din by hektish. Ami rasul gavah kim sirasul hektish. That is the din. We had it back in the Mishnah in the first parak of Maseches Kiddushin. So there's a discussion in the Rishonim. What if you think it? What if you think it? Is that good enough? Thinking it? Or what about saying it? So that's a big, very important sugya, because there's another machlokas Rishonim. Do you say the same thing by tztaka? Not just hektish. So if you put two shitas together, so then you got a very big chumrah. Thinking, even by, let's say I think I'm going to give $100 to the shul. Right? If you think that, if you say thinking is good enough, and if you say it applies to tzedaka also, so then you might say that you got to give it. But it's only if you really decide to give it. But either way, this is the sugya of Emirasa Lagavok and Emirasa Lahadyot. It's fascinating, is what is the source for this halacha? What's the source for Emirasa Lagavok and Emirasa Lahadyot? So says the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi in Kiddushin, in the first parak, says, you know what the source is? Lashem ha'aretz u'meloa. Really, everything belongs to Hashem anyway. Everything belongs to Hashem, like we know from Brachas. Everything belongs to Hashem, so it's very easy to give it back to Him. He gave us a little reshus to use something, but the second we say, I want to give it back to the base of English, boom! That's why it's easy to give it back, because Lashem ha'aretz u'meloa. The Me'iri there in Kiddushin, on Daf Chav Vavarso, if I remember where it was, where we had it in Kiddushin, Chav Chesma Beis, I'm sorry, Chav Ches, the Mishnah there in Chav Chesma Beis, in Kiddushin, says the Me'iri, that it's a kinyan chatzir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similar to Hashem Aretz HaMalawa, but Hashem owns the whole earth, so the second that you say it, it's automatically in His chatzir, just like if something's in your chatzir, I want to give it to you, so too here. There is a discussion in the Yachronim, what does it mean, Amirasa L'Gavok and Mizrasa L'Hekdash? Does that mean that you don't need a Maisa Kinyan? Or your Amira is considered a Maisa Kinyan? And the nafkaminas are, do the regular problems of kinyanim apply to hakdasha? Let's say I want to be makdish a davar shelo bala olam. It's not in our world yet. So you can't be makne or mocher a davar shelo bala olam. What about hakdasha? So it's a discussion in the Rishonim. So again, in the Sefer Lumdis, written by Rabbi Adler, he has this chakira. So he says, he discusses cases like this. If you say that it is a maisa kinyan, it takes the place of it, so that you say that the same problems as kinyanim. And you will not be able to be makdash davar shelo bala olam. Mashiach, if you say no, it's not a kinyan at all. It's a special din. So then, you don't need a maisa kinyan, so then maybe it can solve problems even of davar shelo bala olam and other problems as well. Okay, so now let's get back to the Gemara. And the question the Gemara is asking. So remember, what was the Gemara talking about? On the previous Amud on the bottom, to answer a question on Rav Huna, the Gemara said, that Rav Huna statement, Rav Huna said, if I sell a piece of land, I keep the trees to myself and the land with those trees. That's what Rav Huna said. So the Gemara said that's only according, Rav Huna is going according to the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan say, mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher, and therefore he keeps the land with his two trees to himself. But Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, who says that if you're makdish land, you are also makdish these beautiful sycamore trees. And so why is that automatic? Because those trees nourish from the ground. It must be you are makdish the ground also. That's according to Rabbi Akiva. So said that's Rabbi Shimon is going according to Rabbi Akiva. So now the Gemara is going to end up asking, could we really say Rabbi Shimon is like Rabbi Akiva? That's the whole goal of bringing this brisa. So now we say Mani, right in the middle of the daf. Mani. So who is this whole brisa like that we just quoted? Rabbi Akiva, if this whole price is going according to Rabbi Akiva, who again says, mocher ba'ayin yafe mocher, when people sell, they always sell very benevolently, ha'amar mocher ba'ayin yafe mocher v'koshkein makdash. But if that's true, so we should say that people when people are makdash, they are ayin yafe makdash. So you should have to be poda according to the karka shabbat. Meaning if you're makdash trees, must be that you give the land also. And the Gemara says here that you weren't always makdish to the land in between. So give it Rabbi Akiva. E Rabbanan, if it's Rabbanan, ha'ami mocher hu b'dvayin ra mocher. Rabbanan, if it's the Rabbanan, that is ayin ra, that ra, so then they should say, you never sell, that could be that you never sell the trees, avo makdish b'ayin yafe makdish. But maybe they would agree that when you're makdish, you are also b'ayin yafe makdish. And therefore, in both cases, you should always say the land goes along with the trees. Because it's ayin yafe. So who is the brisa going according to? It's not the Rabbanan or Rabbi Akiva. Ela pshita Reb Shimon hi. It must be Reb Shimon who said explicitly in our Mishnah that that a mocher and a makdish are both ayin ra'a. Okay, so says the Gemara, Reb Shimon alibi deman. But who is Reb Shimon going according to now? That's what Reb Shimon has to hold, like either the Rabbanan or Rabbi Akiva. So who is Reb Shimon going according to? Again, Reb Shimon, who in our Mishnah, why we Reb Shimon more than Rabbi Akiva? Because Reb Shimon in our Mishnah said beferish that Hakdasha is also lo hikdash el esachar v'shikma v'sadadan shikma. Even by Hakdasha you have ba'ayin ra'a mocher. So who is Reb Shimon going according to? Ialiva Rabbi Akiva. If he's going according to Rabbi Akiva, ha'amar mocher ba'ayin yafe mocher v'koshkin makdash. Rabbi Akiva says always when you sell all your makdash, ba'ayin yafe, you do it, you give away a lot. Elapshita libe derabanan, but it must be the Reb Shimon, who in our Mishnah says that when you're makdish land, you only gave those two special trees along with the land, but not the other trees, meaning ayin ra'a, even by hakdasha, he must be going and extending the shita of the rabanan. So you see Reb Shimon is going according to the rabanan. V'kasava Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon says, let's read the Bach here, ki hechi v'kasava Reb Shimon, din gavoa kidin hedyot. Being makdish something is just like being mocher. Ma din hedyot mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher. Just like din hedyot mocher sells ba'ayin ra'a, he keeps as much as he can to himself. So too, makdish nami, back to the Gemara, makdish nami ba'ayin ra'a makdish. U'mishayar aran, he leaves as much as he can to himself. So what do you see? This whole Amud asks one question. What do you see? That Reb Shimon in our Mishnah, see, Reb Shimon, again, what does Reb Shimon say? If you're makdish a piece of land, you also are automatically makdish the sycamore tree, right, the southern Ashikla, but not all the other trees in the field. So who is that going according to? It must be that it's going according to the Shita of the Rabbanan, who say, Ba'ayin ra'a mocher, and the same thing applies to Hekdish. So you see, Reb Shimon holds like the Rabbanan. So we're back to the original question on the bottom of the previous Amud, where we said Reb Shimon is like Rabbi Akiva, and Rav Huna is like the Rabbanan. That doesn't work. So back to the question, how does Rav Huna understand our Mishnah? The Mishnah is a kasha on Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, the El Akasha Hova Yonki Misadei Hekdish. What does that question mean? Difficult to understand just reading the Gemara. Baruch Hashem for the Rashbam. The Gemara says, "What you have a kasha? How does Rav Huna read the Mishnah? Forget Rav Huna the Mishnah. We seem now to have a stira within Rabbi Shimon. And that's an even more of a problem. Why? Because what does Rav Shimon say in our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, Rav Shimon says, when I sell a field, I automatically sell these trees because they nourish from the land, and therefore it automatically goes along. But Rav Shimon, in our Brisa that we just quoted, is not as giving. It's ba'ayin ra. If I give certain trees to the base of Mikdash, I don't automatically give the land. So forget the kasha of Rav Huna and our Mishnah. Rav Shimon himself is a seer between the Mishnah and the Brisa. So the Gemara answers, Ella, Reb Shimon, l'divrayhem, d'rabbanan ka'amar lehu. Reb Shimon, in our Mishnah, is really going, not according to his own shita, he's saying, l'shita scha. According to you, rabbis, you're not consistent. L'didi, according to me, ki hechi d'mocher, d'ba'ayin ra'a mocher, makdish nami ba'ayin ra'a makdish, v'shiyure mishayir. According to me, just like selling is ayin ra'a, so too, makdish is ayin ra'a, and in our Mishnah, we would say he left everything for himself. Shire Mishayer. Liditru. But according to you, Rabbanan, Odi Limiya Delo Hektish El Acharav Hamurka Vesadana Shikma, at least admit to me, rabbis, that when he is Makdish, he was only Makdish these trees. Vahamri Le Rabbanan Loshna. The Rabbanan say no. No, they don't say no, because we hold Ayin Yafen, you give even more to the Beis HaMikdash. Period. Let's stop there for a minute. The Rashbam on the bottom of the previous Amud, when the Gemara is trying to figure out who Reb Shimon holds like, is Reb Shimon the Rabbanan or is Reb Shimon Rabbi Akiva? So the Rashbam points out that Reb Shimon is a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Talmud of Talmud, we're talking about Reb Shimon. Which Reb Shimon? So he quotes the third wide line in the Rashbam. Third wide line on Amud Aleph. Says the Rashbam, Reb Shimon Alibi Daman, May Rabosav, which of his rabbis? Shari to me Talmud Rabbi Akiva hi, Kidam Rinan, Yivam Asamach Beis. Why is that Gemara important? That's the Svira Gemara. That's the Gemara that says all of the Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim died between Pesach and Shavuos, 24,000 Talmidim, and they died with the Misa of Askara. Right? That's that Gemara. Remember, we mentioned in the past that nowhere in Shas does it talk about any Minhagim of Avelis that Klal Yisrael developed based on that story. The story is brought down, Yivam Islamach Beis, but only in the Gaonim. That's where the earliest sources we have of the Minhagi Avelos of Sphira. Because if you think about it, right, it's supposed to be, Pesach Shavuos, you read the Ramban and Parshas Emor, it's like a Chol HaMoed. It's beautiful. We're counting down towards Kabbalah, the Torah. Why is there a Avelos there? Right, so it comes from this Gemara, but it's not in the Shas anywhere. It's in the Gaonim. That's why there are certain kulas that we have with that Avelos as compared to the 3 weeks Avelos, which has roots in the Gemara's in Tinus. But that's the Gemara that Reb Shimon, after Rabbi Kippis Tamidim died, he started again, and he took Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Chemia, those five, and he started rebuilding Torah Shebaal Peh. We mentioned in a drasha last year, I think it was Parshas Emor, that the Minchas Asher has the Ha'ara, where we know, why did the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva die? He died because they weren't no Ekavad Zebazeh. Right? They were at each other's throat, and they made fun of each other, period. If you look at the five Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, these five Talmidim, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, throughout Medrash, and you need a Minchas Asher to make this Ha'ara, throughout Midrashim, all of these Talmidim, many Ma'amari Chazal, all about Bein Adam L'Makom, Bein Adam L'Chavero, are all said by these. Because Rabbi Akiva must have emphasized that in these five new Talmidim, so much of what they said, and he goes through examples from each one. Rabbi Meir, Kol Mavarech Az Yisrael, Ki Ilu Mavarech Az Hashchina, Habi Shval Ruach B'Pnei Kol Adam, and Rabbi Yehuda, Kol Makabo B'Pnei Chaverim, Ki Ilu Makabo B'Nei Hashchina, Rabbi Yossi Ben Chalafta, Rabbi Yossi, Miyamai Lo Avarti Al Divrei Chaverai, Rabbi Shimon, Noach Ol Adam, Shiapal Asbel, Tov Kipshana Eish, V'Yalva B'Nei Chaver Barabim, Rabbi Lazar, he goes through everyone, Habi Kho Tamidcha Chavev Alecha Kishalcha. All of these five Talmidim, including Rabbi Shimon, Rashbi, so they had many Mamari Chazal throughout Midrashim that talk all about Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Because that was the tikkun for the first 24,000 Talmidim that died because Lonago covered Zebazeh. That's that Gemara that the Rashbam quotes. Okay, let's go weiter. Where are we up to? Seventh line. B'mayu Kimtala. So back to the Brisa. Remember what the Brisa said on an Aleph? If a Makdish trees to the Beis HaMikdash, three trees, land automatically goes along with that. So when I redeem that area, I redeem it based on the land value that the Torah prescribes. Right? Because that's a Steachuza. But if not, if I only sold two trees or they're still far apart, so then I redeem the trees based on the value of the trees. Even if I makdish the land later, I still look at it as two different things. I buy the trees based on how much they're worth, and the land goes based on what the Torah says. So, b'mayu kimtala k'Rabbi Shimon. Who is the author of the Brisa, Rabbi Shimon? Ema seifa. What about the last line of that Brisa, as we just said? V'lo od elafilu hikdash ha'ilanos. V'chazer v'hikdash ha'karka. If you makdish the trees, and then you makdish the karka. K'shu podeh podeh ha'ilanos b'shav yeyin. When you're podeh, you've redeemed the trees based on how much they're worth. V'chazer podeh based zerach homer sorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. And the land goes by the value prescribed in the Torah. 50 shekel per area. So Gemara says, V'irib Shimon, lezo basar pidyon, v'nifriku agav arayu. But what do you mean? We know from elsewhere, where we're going to quote in a minute, that Rib Shimon always goes by the time of redemption. And therefore, if you go by the time of redemption, since by this time he was already makdish, his trees and his field, we should look at it as one unit, and he should only have to redeem it based on the land value, which the Torah prescribes, 50 shekel per land value. Why do we say that? Just because you were makdish it at two separate stages, why do we say that they're separate? We know from elsewhere that Reb Shimon always goes by moment of redemption. Where do we see that? The following. Tashamina leather Reb Shimon does a bazapidyon. We know he goes bazapidyon to Tanya, the following Brisa. Okay, we need one word of introduction here. The Rashbam explains, based on psukim, right? You don't have to know shas for this. All you got to know is Torah. Parshas B'chukosai. There is different halachos if a makdash a stay achuza, and if a makdash what's called a stay mikne. Different halachos. If a makdash a stay achuza, a piece, a plot of land that is my family heirloom. It's mine for generations and generations. If I give that, so there are four differences. We'll mention one now, and then hopefully afterwards we'll mention the other three. One difference is, if a makdash the field, a steachuza, then I have to redeem it based on this value. 50 shekel per area. But if I makdish a stay mikne, mikne means the land is not my family heirloom. Let's say I bought it from somebody. He sold it to me. It's not, and then I makdish it, stay mikne. It was bought, then it's redeemed from the base of mikdash based on how much it's worth. You don't go by the value that's recorded in the Torah. That's the difference between stay mikne and stay achuza. Three other differences, but that's the one that Gemara deals with now. So let's continue now. Says the Gemara, minayin, the Brisa says, minayin lelokeach sadame aviv, v'hekdisha, let's say Reuven buys a field from his father, and then he gives it to the Beis HaMikdash. Stop time. At this point, what is that field considered? He bought it from his father. Right, he bought it from his father, and then he was makdish. It was his father. His father is really the owner of this field, so he bought it to stay mikne. So now, if he would redeem it, you know, it would be he would have to pay for how much it's worth. But then his father died. V'yakach meis aviv, his father died, and therefore he yarshins this land. So it kind of switches into a steachusa. But his father died before. He was matashi before his father died. How do you know that you look at still look at it as a steachusa? Even though he was matashi before his father died, but now at the time of redemption, it's his steachusa? How do you know you go by rules of steachusa? Tamalomar. The imestea miknaso asher lo misteachusa so. That's the pasuk. If you makdish a mixed up ste mikne, that's not a steachusa, and we darshin sa de shein ruya li a steachusa. Only a field that is not fit to be a steachusa at all. Do you have the rules of ste mikne? Yatsa sazu sheru ruya li a steachusa, excluding this one which is fit to be a steachusa. So that's why you go by rule of steachusa. Dibre Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon. That's the key one for us, because you see Rabbi Shimon here goes by Pidyon. Rabbi Meir, Omer, Rabbi Meir doesn't go that far. Rabbi Meir says, Minayin lelokeach sadamei aviv, umeis aviv, v'yachragachik dish minayin shetei lafanev kistei achuza. The father has to die before your makdashit, says Rabbi Meir. Tamalomar v'im esdei mikraso ha-shalob mistei achuza so. Sada she'eno stei achuza. So you have to zuzu she'hi stei achuza. You don't go by the ra'ui. You go by what it is. So you see, Rabbi Meir goes by the Sha'as Hakdasha. Rabbi Shimon goes by the Sha'as Pidyon. So says the Gemara. Vida Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the Bach takes out the next 10 words. Go to the next line. Hecha dehikdisha v'yakach meis aviv minalu. So according to Rabbi Shimon, how does he know once you're makdashit and then the father dies, how do we know that that's also considered as de'achuza? Ime haikra, ime lo dukadremehu da'asa. If they're trying to just learn it from Sukkim, then you could darshan it the other way, like Rabbi Meir darshans it. So how does he know? It must be a svara. El olav, mishum da'azli basar pidyon. It must be that misvara, he goes after the redemption time. And if you go after the redemption time, that's why it's called a steachusa here. So back to the question. If the brisa that we brought back on Amar Aleph is Reb Shimon Shita, so what that you gave the trees and the field at different times? When you try to redeem it, it's all one package, and therefore you should go by the rules of the Torah, 50 shekel per piece of land. So answers the Gemara, no. Amar of Nachman by Yitzchak, Liola Biyama, Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon, Loaz Libasa Pidyon. Generally, Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon don't go after the Pidyon time, v'hacha krash kol v'drosh, but here they have a specific limud by steachusa. Im kain lichtov kra v'im estei miknaso asher lo achuza so. The pasuk should have said if it's a stei mikna which is not achuza, inami stei achuza so, or is not a stei achuza. My asher lo mi stei achuza so. What's that mem? What's that mi stei achuza so? It must be miksas. Right, mixas. The Rashbam explains the. Well, let's read the Gemara first, and we'll see the Rashbam. Es she'ena ru'uya li'os de'achuza, yotzezezu she'ru'uya li'os de'achuza. Right, you darshan it from that mem. How do you darshan it from that mem? The Rashbam says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10th wide line in the Rashbam. First word on the line. Mashmakra, v'im es haste mikna she'ena mixas ste'achuza. Avalam hi sada achuza mixas, that's the mem. If it's a little bit of a ste achuza, at least potentially, so then it has the rules of ste achuza. Period. Okay, which should we do? We have two important thoughts to talk about. Let's do this one, because if somebody comes late tomorrow, I don't want them to miss it. So we'll discuss tomorrow. We'll start off discussing a beautiful lumdis in the Moneh HaMitzvos. This is what we're not talking about now. Ste achuza and ste mikna, how many mitzvos do you count it as? How many mitzvahs are? You look in the Rambam, it counts as one mitzvah. Other Rishonim don't, so we'll talk about that tomorrow. But today let's talk about this other issue, and that is Svara. Right? So the Svara, it must be a nasal basa pidyon is a Svara. So the Gemara doesn't say it beferish. The Gemara, though, elsewhere in two different places, quotes sometimes a pasuk is brought as a source of a din, and then the Gemara will say, what do you need a pasuk for? Isn't it just a Svara? The Gemara says that in Bava Kama, daf mem vav, about Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. The Gemara agrees a pasuk and says, what do you need a pasuk for? It's a svara. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. The pasuk is used for something else. And the Gemara also says that in Ksubis Chaf Beis about Pesha Asar Hu Pesha Hitir. The woman comes to us. We have no idea who this woman is. And the woman says, you know what? I was married, but now I'm divorced. So we believe her that she's single. Even though she said she was married, that she was Cheskas Eishes. No, we only know that she was married based on her words. Pesha Asar Hu Pesha Hitir. So both those times, the Gemara says, Svarahu Lamali Kra. Fine. The question, though, is, what's the question? The Gemara, the question is from the sixth parak in Brachas. And the sixth parak in Brachas is, what is the source for making a bracha before we eat? Berachas Hananin. The Gemara says, Svarahu. It's a Svara. It's also to get benefit from the world without making a bracha. The svara. L'shem arisim lo av aris asan l'vnei adam kan l'vnei abracha kan l'achvar abracha. So we paskin like 99% of mekoros, and that is making a bracha before we eat is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. That's what we paskin. That's why if I don't remember if I made a bracha or not, I do not say the bracha again if I don't have anything else to eat. Because Tavik Brach is the Hopkel, Tavik Rabbanan Lakula. So, ask the Pnei Yoshua on that Gemara, the beginning of the sixth parak, he says, I don't understand. The two other places in Shas where Svara comes up, the Gemara says, hey, what do you need a pasuk for? It's a Svara, which means a Svara is on the level of Daraisa. So why is it that all of a sudden here, the Svara by Birchas Hanehenin is only Dirabana? Why do we paskin making a bracha in the morning before we eat is Dirabanan? So says the Pnei Yoshua, if I had my druthers, don't tell anybody, Ilule de Mistafina, I think bracha is a Daraisa. That's what the Pnei Yeshua says. Making a bracha is a daraisa, but he still says, if you're not sure if you made it, he works out the lumdus. If you're not sure if you made it, I still think it would be suffik lakula. But either way, that is the Pnei Yeshua. So how do you argue on this? How do you argue on this? So the tzlach there in brachos quotes this Pnei Yeshua. He says, you can't say every svara is a daraisa, because then why do you need any mitzvah in the Torah that's logical? Lomali pasuk svaru. What do you need a pasuk for? Every pasuk is, just say what do you need the mitzvah of keeping up a aim for svaru. What do you need the pasuk of? No, that's not what the Gemara means by svaru. Says the tzlach, the Nodabi Huda there. He says, what's the Gemara talking about svaru? When there are societal dinim that help society function. That's where the Gemara says, what do you need a pasuk? It's a svarahu. Of course, if you have the shirt and I'm trying to get it from you, you keep the shirt until I can prove it. Hamaz b'chavar lo varaya. Pesha asa pesha hitir. Right? So that's the svarahu. The Gemara says, oh, that's a societal, obviously. You don't need a pasuk to teach me that. Society needs to function. Right? Like that. The Nodabi Yehuda also asks, if it's such a svarah, why aren't goyim chayiv in it? Right? So goyim should also make brachas according to the svarah. He says, no, it's a different din. That's what the tzlach says here. To argue on the Pnei Yeshua. You can't say it's Daraisa. It's a specific type of Svara. But I just end with the Minchas Asher. It's a beautiful piece Rav Asher Weiss has in Simin Tezvav in Dvarim, where he says, no, there are two kinds of Svaris. What we would call logic of the heart and logic of the mind, to use Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's Lashon. And that is, there are purely intellectual Svaris in the mind. That's where the Gemara says, Lama Likra Svaru. It's pure logic. If you're holding something, that's yours until proven otherwise. If the whole source of the problem is from you, so we trust you. That's pure logic. Making a bracha because everything belongs to God is logical, pure logic. That's ethics of the heart. It's logical for a believing person, but it's not pure logic. So what does the Gemara say? Lama likra svarahu? That's by pure intellect. But here, by making brachas, that's not pure intellect. So that svara is not daraisa. V'ro lachalik bein svara sichlis shel higayon tsaruf, pure logic. Degidri adin tamischayvim in a higayon min a Torah. Avos svaras halev hamusarit kahad asal adam and asal zevel a bracha lav min a Torah hi. So that is a different type of svara. So here, the Gemara quotes basar pidyon. So why would you go basar pidyon? So that, I don't know which svara that would be in. That might be in the first type, intellectual, what you're redeeming it now. So go by right now. So that would be in the first category, svara, which would be on the level of daraisa. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow, we will start with talking more about the differences between stay achuza and stay mikneh. And then, b'Hashem, get into the halachas of selling boats. So if anybody has a boat to sell, don't do it till tomorrow. And b'Hashem, we will get into it tomorrow.